Was wondering how many of us have seen the movie Braveheart? Braveheart came out, late 80s or so. Yes, most of us. I'm sure they were showing it in living rooms all across Scotland before the vote. And if you remember, there was a really interesting character named Stephen, who was an Irishman. And the scene is when he first meets William Wallace. William Wallace and his band of Scottish raiders, they are around a campsite. And a couple new volunteers come in, and they want to join up with William Wallace. And the Irishman, he starts looking up at the sky and talking as though he's talking to somebody. And he says, "Father." And then William Wallace's right-hand man, Hamish, he says, "Is your father a ghost, or do you converse with the Almighty?" To which Stephen says, "In order to find his equal, an Irishman is forced to talk to God." And then he starts talking about where he's from, and he refers to it as "my island." And Hamish says, "Your island? You mean Ireland?" And Stephen says, "Yeah, it's mine." I just love those lines. In order to find his equal, an Irishman is forced to talk to God. And it's my island. Yeah, it's mine. Well, during the creation of the universe, if God had stopped at making rocks, there would have been nothing living. If God had stopped at making trees, there would have been nothing to love God back. If God had stopped at making animals, there would have been nothing to carry his image and his likeness. In the beginning, God said, "Let us make humanity in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth." Let them have dominion. Now, 22 generations ago, a Christian leader in Syria, at one time Syria was a Christian nation, a leader wrote these comments on that verse in Genesis. He said, "Now when God was about to fashion man in his own image and likeness to reign as king and ruler over all the earth and all that it contains, he first made for him, so to speak, a kingdom in which he should live, a suitable home for him who was created in God's image, a kingdom fit for a king." And just one generation ago, a Jewish scholar wrote that humans are to be the symbol of God's presence on earth. The symbol of God's presence on earth. When Jesus came to earth, he came as a scrabo sandstone. No. He came as a alder tree. No. He came as a Frisian cow. No. He came as a human being. The King of Kings came as a human being because, well, for one thing, humans, not rocks, not trees, humans were made in the image of God. And humans, not your favorite animal, were given dominion over the earth. Now, as a symbol of the dominion that God gave to humanity at creation, we have the passage that Gordon read for us. The people of Israel should have already been enjoying the promised land for 40-some years. But because they failed the test, because they didn't trust Yahweh when he promised them that he was going to give them the land into their hands, they had spent the last 40 years wandering around in the desert. And so now they have a second chance, and Joshua leads the people to the border of the promised land. And this second time around, in order to help his people to have the faith to be faithful, Yahweh their God and Joshua repeat to them one word 8 times in those few sentences. In this opening dialogue in Joshua, the word give, will give, have given, shall give, granted. The word give appears at least 8 different times in these few sentences. It's as if God needs to hammer into their heads that he is going to give them this land that he has already promised them. The songs in the Bible say, "You have given man dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." The songs also say, "The heavens are Yahweh's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man." And Daniel the prophet wrote, "The kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High." And Jesus told a story one day to describe these latter days before he returns to earth. And he said, "It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge." You see, Jesus has put us in charge. He has left you in charge. That is such an incredible statement. He has left you in charge until he comes back again. God has given us his image so that we may have the joy of being the symbol of his presence right here in Dollingstown, right here in Lurgan, right here in Craigavon. Dollingstown is our promised land. Now, sometimes you may not feel like this is much of a promised land, especially if you're a teenager or a 20-something, you may not be able to wait till the day that you can leave home and go somewhere that you think is bigger and better and going to give you more opportunities. But hear me, Dollingstown, Lurgan, Craigavon, this is our promised land. Wherever we go, wherever we take our image, the image of God, wherever we place his symbol of his presence, that is where our promised land is. Now, the promised land is not somewhere out there that you've never been before or someplace that you're never going to reach. The promised land is not some revival that you're waiting on Gareth or me or PJ Booth to start for us. The promised land is not just when you die and go to heaven. The promised land is wherever and whenever and whatever you decide to trust God to give you that he already wants you to have. Our calling is to exercise this dominion that he has already given us. Our calling is to enter into this promised land. Now, Ronnie prayed very well for me and others that we would fearlessly proclaim the gospel And I want to tell you that standing up here to proclaim the gospel is easy. This is easy. Because we're in a church, we're amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. And so this is not boldly, fearlessly proclaiming the good news. But out there to do it, where you all live and work and play every single day, that is where the fearless proclamation of the gospel happens. And the other day, I failed miserably at doing that. I was in CEX, which is a used game, video game shop in Lisburn, and I saw in there a woman with a crutch. And part of me felt like I ought to go and offer to pray for her. But then I just started making excuses, and I didn't walk over and start talking with her. And I saw some other rough-looking characters in the shop there, and I thought, you know, maybe I should go over and just offer to pray with them or say a word of encouragement to them. But then I started making all kind of excuses in my head, and I didn't do it. And then when it got my turn in the queue to go up to the counter and talk to the clerk behind the counter, I thought, you know, I ought to say something to this person. But I made all kind of excuses in my head. And so the most that I could manage was, as I was departing, I could just say, bless you. And that's all I said. My problem, and I'm venturing to guess that a lot of our problems is that oftentimes we're either stuck in the mistakes of the past or we're focused on the problems of the present. We're on the banks of the Jordan. We're on the banks of the Promised Land. We know it's there. We can see it. We know that God's going to go with us if we say something, if we do something. We know he's going to give us something. He's going to glorify himself somehow. But we hesitate. We're like, well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the last Christian that talked to them, maybe he messed things up royally and she never wants to talk to another Christian as long as she lives. And well, what if they think I'm weird or something? Or what if the conversation just doesn't go the way I want it to go? And it turns into a really awkward moment. What if? Problems. I'll share another wee story with you. Back in 2004, I was interviewing for a job with a bishop, and Bishop Minns told me in the interview, look, I'm not looking for somebody who can tell me what the problems are. I already know what the problems are. I need somebody who's going to tell me what are the range of solutions to the problems. We already know what the problems are. We don't need to know what they are. We need to know and trust God for the range of the solutions. There is no problem that is a problem for God. Do you hear that? There is no problem that is a problem for God. Now, last week we explored a bit of what it means to pray more like Jesus. And we focused on the fact that in order to pray more like Jesus, in order to pray more effectively, we need to know who it is that we're praying to. Because once we know who it is that we're praying to, we'll know how we can pray. And so we're looking at the story of King Xerxes and how God used King Xerxes to actually reflect the character of God. And this week, I want to also dock this boat on prayer. And I want to suggest to you that in order to pray more like Jesus, in order to pray more effectively, we need to know not only who it is we're praying to, but we need to know who we are in order to pray more effectively. Now, you may recall that when Queen Esther was urged to go to King Xerxes and pray for the salvation of the Jews, she made excuses. She listed what all of the problems were, what all of the risks were, what all of the hazards were. But once she was persuaded to see that her dominion included the plight of the Jews, once she realized that God made her queen so that she could do something about the threat to their life, then she determined to exercise her position as queen by going before the king to pray for their salvation. And so the choice before us is, do we want to be the queen of excuses, or do we want to be the queen of godly dominion? If you're the queen of excuses, then you'll be like me in the shop in Lisburn. And your head will only be focusing in on the problems. And your prayers are going to be weak, pathetic. But if you're the queen of godly dominion, you're going to go before the throne of the king with resolution in your spirit, because you know that you already have dominion over your cul-de-sac, over your school, and you're going to pray like it. You will already know that you have dominion over your factory and your shop, and you're going to pray like you already have dominion in those places. You're going to already know that you have dominion over your problems and your situations, and you're going to pray like you already have dominion over those things. And so, brothers and sisters, I invite us to claim the dominion that God has already given us, to enter into the promised land with his image already stamped on us and his authority, to be the symbol of his presence in the places where we set our foot. And he has promised that he has already given us those things. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you that we are not a stone, that we are not a tree, that we are not a cow out in the pasture, but we are the bearers of your image and likeness. And you have given us dominion over the places where we put our feet. And you have promised us that you will give us whatever, wherever, whenever, we trust you for those things that you already want to give us. And so, Father, we thank you that you have put us where you have put us. We thank you for the call that you have given each of us in our lives to be your image bearers in those places, in those situations. And we pray, Father, help us more and more to have the faith to be faithful in trusting you for the solutions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.